same thing right now. If you're not taking care of your employees,
right,
you're not going to be able to stay open.
Yep.
And so the same thing, if you're right. going into a place and you're just chopping people left and right and bringing all these bots and you're not giving anyone that's now taken care of and doing three people's worth of jobs. Yeah. If Bob goes in and he sees Joe and Frank aren't there anymore mm-hmm. and they're not doing their stuff, he's not, you know, Bob remembers that Joe and Frank got paid.
Yeah, yeah.
And so where's that money going?
Yeah.
Is it like I'm doing three people's worth of work, even though you're giving me some tools and stuff to do it, I should be making, you know, some more money on this. This is another episode of Restaurants Unconfidential. I'm Norwood. You can find me on socials at Old South Out West or check out my restaurant at Baby Bear Biscuit CA. This is my amazing co-host.
My name is Javier. And I guess you could find me at Cheddar Suite. Javier,
right.
You could always email me. I make myself available for any
email if you just want to talk.
Any if you just want to reach out and say what's up.
it's trying times right now. If you just need someone to talk to, Javier is there.
I'm available.
He's there for you.
And we have dogs. Look, we have
yeah, we've got our little bit of positivity. You got Shannon Jr. coming back to another episode, giving a guest production assistance.
Yeah.
So we want to reach out and say thank you to you two. We got lots of kibble and treats for you. Yes, ma'am.
There you go.
We are a Restaurant Confidential. If you're listening to us, you like it, hit us up with a 5 stars and subscribe so you don't miss out on our next episode. This is our last episode of this series, so we got another one coming out soon. Restaurants are running smoother, delivery becoming cheaper and quicker, and a robo bartender making James Bot .007 his motor oil martini, shaken not stirred, of course, are all ways we've talked about tech making our lives better. We've showcased the brave new world we're stepping into as restaurants really start to embrace tech and move into the modern world. But what are we leaving on the table? What are the big millions in the margin style uses for these modern tools that you can take to take your business to the next episode or take your business to the next level? This episode is taking you to the next level, upgrading your business, or just describing what stairs do. We're excited to kind of wrap up the we had AI talk. We've been talking about delivery drones. We had an amazing interview with Ben Thein.
Flytracks. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so
it's all been tech.
It's all been tech. Beeps, bops, and boops. Mm-hmm. Quickfire, Javier, what is the last tech thing in restaurants that made you go, damn, that's pretty cool?
Ooh, I don't know if it was damn, that's pretty cool, but robotics taking over completely, like the they have a Taco Bell that I've seen. It's in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It's fully automated. People just pull up, you put what you want. The food just comes down a bag. It's just done. It's there for you.
Yeah, it's
you.
Kind of like almost looks like a old school bank.
Yeah.
With
yeah, like an ATM.
Tubes.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the McDonald's. There's one in Fort Worth, Texas. So these companies are trying it out. They're testing to see what that would be. That was the kind of cool, like, oh my gosh, we're there now.
That is cool. Yeah, because test it out. Kind of break ground, see mm-hmm. what went right, what went wrong. Mm-hmm. Next step, it rolls out a little better, mm-hmm. but it's the starting steps. So like mine, in-house TVs, the network switching when they go to commercials. So like watching like college football on Saturdays, mm-hmm. and then instead of going to their network commercials, it picking up and switching to your in-house commercial system. So it's whether it's doing your specials, any sorts of video that you want to specifically play, and being able to pick up on that and like get that out for you.
Get them on the show. That's cool.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, I was like, wow, that is super cool. Like they're doing their ads, like it's popping up, it's seamless.
Yeah.
Like and then the fact that it was so seamless made it look like, you know, you do your ads during I would be sacrilege to cover up a Super Bowl ad, but to have your ad smoothly go in those places, like during a big thing like that, it gives a lot of like you automatically, even if it's your in-house, you're a single unit kind of business, it makes you look like all of a sudden you're as big as any of those national companies that are doing the advertising on that channel.
I like that you own the space, you're paying the rent, you have all those eyeballs you already are, you know, you're feeding. It's like, why not promote yourself even more? Not some other company on your commercials. Yeah, that's smart.
So this episode is a play in three parts. We're going to talk about using the tools and systems we've been talking about to track, organize, and apply analytical data to your space, using technology to add new and take your existing services next level, and finally, we're going to hop on the nostalgia bus and do a recap of the series on restaurant technology. But to quote Shakespeare, all the world's a busy kitchen, and we are but line cooks. It's opening curtain on this episode of Restaurant Unconfidential. Javi,
yes.
We talked about analytics before, but sometimes the idea can become abstract to folks listening. What are some real ways you've seen analytics used and collected and then applied in the restaurant space?
I think some of the best ways I've seen it used are through rewards programs, loyalty programs. It's actually giving people back, like, you come, you spend so many dollars, you order so much from me, I'm going to give you some of that in return. With apps and all of the easier way of tracking it and keeping it, you know, every time I go to the store and use it, I think it's the smartest, one of the smartest tools and ways we're using technology right now for that.
How do you see like a mom and pop capturing some of that data and like having, do you see like apps being affordable enough? Like, cause that's something I've never really messed with. So how like to get a, an app like, for my, like, you know, I have two, taqueria spots say, and how do I get an app that I can use, have customers start getting that data and stuff? Like what's like a basic cost or like kind of like, what's the, I'm new to this, diving in. Okay. Like, kind of open that up for us.
I think first you're going to find a lot of POS systems now are offering different levels of integrations, of additional, like, you know, help. You want loyalty, you want rewards. Well, we have a partner that can bolt on to your software and do that. Nice. So, and I would say somewhere between, you know, $50 to $250, you're going to get a good piece of software that's going to do that kind of loyalty, rewards, all of that. But it's getting even further where it's not just one program. It's all getting tied together. Like maybe the menu app or the company that's delivering for you is doing also the rewards part and stuff. So yeah, it's just integrating apps and sourcing the data is like
so
a
it's
big
using,
thing.
Yeah. Integrating, using those third party like delivery apps or the menu, like kind of like spots people can order through, and then using what they have and stuff before you go in. So
like the gaming algorithm, put that down. That's a huge one.
Yeah.
And you were at Apple. Like you guys started playing and tinkering with that.
We also had a whole set of developers and stuff to do like to do the app so fresh for us. So like, and that's how like thinking as a small business owner, where you don't have, you know, a spare set of developers or something like that to be able to get in that to know,
software.
To see that like, you the best way is to kind of take advantages to jump onto like the stuff you're already using and is more than likely, you know, the Uber Eats, the Yelp, the Grubhub and stuff has that integrated stuff.
I've really noticed two different mindsets. One is I have so many other things I'm worried about. The last thing I want to worry about is tech. So I'm going to want the, you know, one all-in-one or out of a box solution. There's that. And there is that. That's I understand that there's I mean, opening up a restaurant for sure. Like you have to tackle even that whole tech side of it. Yeah. That's a whole nother world to them. So I understand that. The other side of it, though, is people going, this is 2025 now. I want it customized. You know, how can my phone be more customized than my business POS system? So, you know, I see that side of it, too, where you're going to have. So I think the whole industry and technology is playing on both.
Yeah.
You know, it's offering.
Super interesting.
Offering
nice. What do you, anything else you want to dive into on that? I know. Yeah. You're definitely a great resource. Like, having been in like, in really like, the frontier of a lot of this stuff. And
like we talked about before, I think tracking inventory, purchasing habits, that's going to be a big, big way that, we're going to see a lot of this, you know, data collected and analyzed and what it's for. But it's just going to be mainly, I think, to just streamline your business, tell you where you can cut costs, where you can, you know, not be wasting. Right now, we're doing it all manual. And if something goes out the back door and it's theft and it's waste, you literally just log it and go, it is what it is.
Yeah.
This will catch things a lot quicker. That's where I think that
patterns and stuff
quicker. Yeah.
There's more minor things to your site before it becomes a bigger problem.
Your schedule, your ordering, everything. So if you correct, the quicker you can correct it, the less you're going to waste, the less you're going to spend. Yeah.
Wow. So it's easy to see how data has become such a big business. Mm-hmm. So to liven things up, let's jump into how technology can be used to add to the guest experience. How can our listeners use emerging tech to bring a little more razzle-dazzle, a little bit of that razzle-dazzle
to your space?
Yes.
So what about Norwood? What do you think?
So lower costs.
Right.
Open up things and like we've talked about before, take advantage of the positives of the situation rather than dwelling on the negatives. Mm-hmm. So if you are opening up costs and stuff like that, you don't always have to put all that, you know, it's all about reinvesting. And so what is your business mentality? I think it kind of goes down to it mm-hmm. too. And if you're kind of bred for success, you know, it's a lot of reinvesting and mm-hmm. like kind of growth. Cause we've talked about before in some other series, you know, you want to kind of have a pretty drastic, like comprehensive overhaul basically every 7 years anyways.
Yep.
And so integrating technology and then at a lower cost makes it able to like bring in some other things. It makes you like opens up for some more amenities and stuff. So right. maybe it's like a cooler TV program, like a system like for games and stuff if you're a bar, by bringing in technology that like mm-hmm. frees up like a little of the cost or like
and I get it. If you're looking at it from owner standpoint, you were sitting here talking about technology and adding this and this and this. So as an owner, you're just going, oh my God, more expenses, more costs, more money I'm going to shell out. You got to look at it on the flip side. It's actually going to probably save you a lot. That one case of chicken that's getting stole that one month, that just paid for your whole software. Yeah. So you got to look at it like in a complete.
The money will find itself later on. Yeah, it's about bringing exactly. like these cool amenities using technology. Like it used to be to have a cool AV system. Mm-hmm. Like that was a grip of cash. That mm-hmm. was like not cheap. So to be a bar with a with, you know, a stage with lighting, sound and everything, having to bring in a sound engineer, having to have like someone running the light system, or else it's, you know, something that's going to be very basic mm-hmm. or else it's someone that's a whole job right there. So now a band can come in with their presets. They're like, hey, this is the levels we like for everything. You can just plug that in. Same thing with the light stuff. You can have intuitive stuff that works off of the sound levels and everything that's happening with the music.
Yep.
So it's reactive to that. So
I
can
love
have,
it, yeah.
And those are two great amenities that you can have. And then plus the cost of those things. Now the digital systems mm-hmm. are cheaper than the analog, the traditional systems, and mm-hmm. they're able to get in there. So you can take away a couple of, you can, and these are even like, this goes to like take away, you can, or like streamline, but it's also something if you don't have it and you're bringing in something new, it's something like, oh wow, I'm able to jump into this space now of having really good sound system, a light.
Without having to hire three guys that know
exactly. Like you're, because nowadays, anyways, a lot of the bands that are traveling and stuff, they're bringing up hey, this is what we want to have set up anyways. Mm-hmm. So they're telling the people at the
local sound guy already. Exactly. They're paying a lot for that.
Exactly. So why double spend on that? Right. Like, but so it's like, and then, you know, you can open up programs like Rockstar Karaoke Nights and have like this badass lighting system, have something really fun that you can build a nice bar program around. Yeah. And then use that. So you have your bands on the weekends. Wednesday night, you have Rockstar Karaoke. You're able to take advantage of all these cool things mm-hmm. by integrating technology. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like the Poorhouse back in Charleston,
mm-hmm.
James Island's Poorhouse, mm-hmm. amazing venue. One of the coolest things I like what they do, they have a stage on the back patio and their stage is inside.
Yeah.
So leading up, what they do with a lot of the opening bands, they'll have outside because it's beautiful weather in Charleston. They've got amazing beverage program that they do on the back deck. And they stream those outside shows on all the TVs inside as well. And so then as it transitions to the main show and then the first indoor openers and stuff, mm-hmm. it's an easy transition to start bringing people in. It's spreads people out throughout the entire property more. So you're not sitting there shoulder to shoulder until like the main show's going. So you're able to enjoy the stuff. So they get people there earlier. So instead of them having an empty house for the opener, like you see at 90% of shows, you know, the first band, the only people there watching them is like their roadie, like whoever they brought. But so they have a lot of people there because it's more like, hey, we're partying outside. We have that, this music. Everyone inside is able to see and watch. And then, yeah, it makes that nice transition. So they're packed from 6 o'clock all the way till 1 in the morning versus where traditionally it'd be like 7:38 if you're lucky. That's when, like,
see, they figured it out. They just tweaked it a little by adding that technology.
And it's just, using that technology and, like, using it to your benefit.
Yeah.
And then digital menu boards are badass. Like, you get a Chromecast, Apple TV, or
they're
something like that.
They're so easy now and great.
Yeah, yeah. You can do it from your phone. Like, you don't need to even spend a lot of money on. You can have a slideshow or something. You can have the whole on a thumb drive. You can have all your digital menu graphics and then just click over and stuff. Yep. You know, it's stuff that, like, literally for $50, you can.
It's like
turn
a simple JPEG on a whole. Exactly. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Any
big
TV
old monitor.
Turn, like, this monitor we're having in our studio, like, you could have that be a menu board by just putting in a little thumb drive, or you can have it live update a capability by doing a Chromecast.
Like, and nowadays, I love it. You could, like, everyone knows how to take that drive back home, plug it in their laptop, change prices if they need to, reboot it in the morning. It doesn't take, you know, some mad scientist for them to update their own pricing and set these things up themselves.
Yeah. For MySpace, I'll use an example. We're going to have digital menu boards, obviously, you know, but we're going to have three menu screens. In the third one in the morning, when we have less specials, we're going to run video of like cooking demos and stuff like that. Things like fun things, you know, if it's early in the morning, there's an F1 race. Probably going to click that on.
Nice.
Like, fun things in the earlier, and we have that extra screen. And then in the afternoon, evening, we turn that in the south. We've got a lot of like cafes and like places that are very special heavy. You have kind of a chalkboard kind of thing where you're just marking off as they go down.
Uh-huh.
And it's very like homey, kind of like it's a very like fun part of like the experience and stuff, and shows you that like everything's fresh because, you know, once it's out, it's marked
off.
And the next day the whole board's done fresh again.
Yeah.
So we want a digital.
So they're actually checking. Nice. That's a good idea. Yeah, you're digitizing as things get crossed off.
And I can just, in my pocket, I can pull the phone out
and cross something off.
And then I'll re-upload that graphic, and then bam, like it shows that it's crossed out. It has that just old school vibe to it with a new modern presentation. And I mean, if you're using the Chromecast or something like that already, that's just a free thing you can have. And it's like you said, it's stuff that people are using in other aspects that who isn't like taking their what they're watching on TV from their computer and then stream it up to their TV?
I know.
Like, it's you're already doing that stuff every day.
Everyone knows. And if people that don't own them, their kids know how to do how to get it going.
And that's especially if you're an older restaurateur, if you want to modernize, get those kids like involved. Like, ask them like, hey, how's this work? Ask them like, you know, a lot of questions.
Well, a lot of times in training and software, they're like, no, my granddaughter's going to do it. My daughter's going to, my son. It's a lot of the owners just pawn it down, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But they're modern. The next generation is just coming in modernizing.
Yeah. Which is really important. It's a great way to get them involved too. Mm-hmm. If you maybe see some hesitation and wanting to get involved in the restaurant biz or something like that, and like being like, whatever, show them like have these modern bridges of to connect them to get them excited about the whole process. Mm-hmm. And then, so Javi, unless you got anything else with, going on that subject of how like we can bring that razzle dazzle into the space with tech.
How else? Ordering. I know that we've talked about that a lot, but ordering in guest kiosks. I mean, that's something that's becoming more and more popular. I like the fact that even in those kiosks, they go, do you have a rewards program? Yes.
Yeah.
Show me the app. So it's still tying everything, even if you're ordering in there. Even if you're ordering at the counter, they still ask you. So yeah. It's they're slowly training and weaning people off the human aspect of just ordering, which is fine. I mean, a lot of times the reason things get messed up is because they were entered wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's fine. But yeah.
Figuring out where to fit in those. Like if you, because if you're having the guests help with the order and stuff, doesn't mean there doesn't need to be anyone behind the counter. But now train that person to be like, hey, observe the person and what their needs are as a guest versus like taking their order.
I think it's more important being the food expediter, making sure that the food was correct and looks good and tastes good.
Yeah. And like pay attention to things like, is the person seem stressed out with the kid or whatever. All right, make sure if we've got a little coloring mat and some crowns or whatever, that gets the guest. Or if it's something where, like, send them out an extra drink or something, or just like little things that you can, like, you can retrain your staff instead of focusing on like data entry of like, oh, let me get these order in. Like, all right, now let me more focus on the guest as a person. How can I make their experience better?
It's so, all going to work hand in hand. I don't see replacing.
So it's all, it's changing things to benefit. And like, it is like, you know, getting more out of your staff, but that's so you can pay them more and take care of them better. And it's just sharing, make sure the bottle gets passed around to everybody, that you're not slugging back everything yourself. So that's it on our series on tech and the restaurant industry. We had a few questions about the series. We wanted to ask you guys, do a little recap. So, Javi, I'm going to ask you one you can ask me.
Okay.
First off, what are the main tips that you had on finding the right software? This is a great one for you, I think.
Oh, the main tips on finding the right software.
Yeah.
One, I mean, I guess it's first figure out which one of the two you land on. Do you want something out of a box that's just going to give you everything? You don't have to stress out too much. You can get started on training and using it right away. Or do you want something a little bit more custom? You're already in the world of technology. You already love data and analyzing all that. So those people are going to do a lot of demos. They're going to try and, you know, figure out a lot of different software, but they need to make sure it integrates with their current POS system. And, you know, a lot of times where I hear the worst, you know, I guess the restaurant owners that are just saddened the most that they bought a certain POS is that it doesn't allow them to adapt to other and integrate into other systems.
Yeah.
That, so be careful buying that, because that is the biggest expense you're going to put into your restaurant for the front of house.
Yeah.
Make sure it has the loyalty reward programs that you can adapt into it. Maybe online ordering, delivering, you know, a loyalty program. A lot of them have it built in. Ask all those questions. What do I get with this if they claim to be the all-in-one? Most aren't true all-in-ones. And they and say, okay, if I don't like your scheduling software, am I allowed to bring in something else and it'll tie into it? That'll kind of veer you down the road of what you're getting, of how much you can customize and kind of what you're going to end up with. Definitely. What about for you?
For finding the right software, I think.
Yeah.
Like, one thing,
what did you do to actually find the right software to bring in?
Just like, I've luckily had tons of experience working with like different stuff, like being in like with bigger organizations, and then coming from like fine dining, doing like more, even there we did more of the molecular gastronomy kind of stuff. So it was very kind of like a little forward thinking. So it just kind of played into like kind of paying attention to a lot of that stuff. So luckily, like one thing you brought up, I think, being realistic with the expectations and knowing and asking yourself those questions of like, what do I really want in the software? What do I want it to do? And not understanding that not every there's no software that's going to do everything you need it to do 100%. So if it's something, like you say, more out of the box, and you know, like, all right, I want something that's out of the box, be realistic with their expectations. Like, all right, I'm not going to be able to customize every single thing on this. I might not be able to do this. But and then you can set yourself up to not be stressed out about that. So I think that's a good point you bring up, that I'd like to,
being realistic, especially with tech when it comes to it. A lot of people think, AI, you hear all this stuff, it's going to do this for me, it's going to do this for me. It still needs to get trained by you. It has no clue where you're putting that sauce, that box of tomato in your business. Like, it has no clue how much, you know what I mean? There's still, there's still a human aspect. Don't think it's going to just do it for you, but it's going to track and it's going to do things that you wouldn't, you wouldn't even think of. It's going to, it's going to give you data on a daily basis that you wouldn't even, you know, run by. So.
So what, were some of your favorite tech-based solutions for problems plaguing the restaurant business?
Oof. Well, I'll ask you that because you're the one that's been in tech and you've used a lot of different tech. So coming from all the different.
At Apple, we had the in-house ordering app.
Yeah.
And so seeing like how that transitioned from little things like, we took pictures of all the food during our tasting, like because our management would taste every dish that, because it was a fresh dish, every single station would do a fresh plate every single day. And so we would do a tasting, but then we'd do a photo box, take nice pictures. So then we would upload those pictures into the app. And
nice.
So that way, sitting at your desk, you'd see what the dish was going to be. And so, like, it takes away those kind of just reading a menu description or something and saying, like, well, I'm not sure what this is or this. But if you look at something, you're like, oh, that looks great. I want that.
People
like,
eat with their eyes. I mean, totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's so important. That's the way I think that what we're talking about, digital menu boards, that's where it's going.
Yeah.
If you want an app that you can snap a picture of that plate and then have it put up on your menu board and this and that, they're out there.
Oh, that's a killer way. Like, when we get in rocking and rolling, that's – biggest social media like use is just take a quick pic of like what you're doing, throw that up there. Like, it's a great way to use social media, make it quick, simple, doesn't need to be a big headache. Like, make a special, get outside, get some nice sunlight on it, bam, click a picture of it real nice and close, post it, bam, done.
That's where I think in tech a lot of people that it that they think they need to know more than they do already, or that it's going to be overwhelming, this and that. No, it's like anything else, you just start and literally like something keep that small and people love the simplicity more.
The real, the raw.
Yeah.
So, Javi, what have you seen as some of the biggest wins and biggest flops in restaurant tech over the past 2-3 years?
Ooh. The one thing that I keep seeing is the all-in-one POS system. And I'm not sure if it's a, like I said, it's a win for some people, but it's slowly, even those people, it's becoming a flop, because at the point you start learning what it actually does, your level of technology also elevates in a lot of these owners.
Yep.
So they go, now that I've already figured this out, I want a deeper thing. And they go, well, we can't integrate with that. You get the all-in-one, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's smart. I think it would be a better play to say, here's the all-in-one. If you move on beyond that, well, you can also, it's like giving somebody the default, you know, software that they need on their system, then still being able to adapt. So
I really think I think it's a great perspective too, because once you know everything's crazy the first time you're looking at it, but use it a couple times and you're all of a sudden like, oh, okay, all these features I get now,
now I need this too.
I want to take these. I figured out how I'm collecting all these emails. I want to learn how to do a mass email or an email campaign using that stuff.
You want it, and maybe that one doesn't integrate into MailChimp and the other ones do. So that's where you got to like think a little bit deeper, play 3D chess on your system.
And that's where you were saying, like, really look at the stuff. And like one thing you brought up a couple times was double check that the software you're using integrates with other people's software. And so like you're saying, like, it might be good for you to use the all-in-one at first and make it simple, but then you want to dive deeper into it. So have integrated like MailChimp. So
just know you're going to grow. Like, your software might not. You're going to grow. So
that's a really good perspective. I don't think a lot of people think of, because it is, one day you are going to get it.
Yeah.
Even if it's confusing the first day.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah. Your dishwasher is going to walk up and know how to change
things. I tell this to cooks and stuff all the time. It's like, everyone's got their first
day. Your cooks are good. Yeah.
Everyone starts, you know, no one comes in as CEO, I know it all. Like, everyone has their first day at anything. And every name of the doctor has his first day at school, medical school, is like starting off at zero. And like, you're doing that same thing. You're going to build that knowledge. And to have that next step, that's such a great like perspective. I think like people should really think about when they're, because we've brought that up before. How do you find the right software? And I think that really nails in why you want
to. That's why I couldn't know. It's not a bit. It's a win and a flop. Yeah. Like, you know, like for both. But
because
like,
you want it to be usable so that people are actually using it. Because we've said that before. If the technology is not usable, people will jump back to using a pen and paper.
Right.
Like that, like especially in the early stages. And so if you can't get people using the stuff in the beginning, then you're going to get them going back to the pen and paper kind of stuff.
And like, I would say find the one solution. Really, it's overwhelming. If you're like, all of a sudden I'm taking on 8 pieces of software for my business, that's just too much.
Yeah.
Find the one that you really feel is going to help you. And don't start, everyone always goes, well, inventory, that'll be the one. That's also the hardest.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get in, start with something very simple that everyone's going to love, like scheduling.
And every employee,
everyone is now communicating better, and they're happy, and you're hiring better people because now you've stepped up your game.
They know when their hours are coming. It's not Sunday night. They're getting their schedule for people that need to be working Monday morning. Yeah. Like that kind of, it happens all the time.
Or running to your business because it's posted on the wall. Like that kind of stuff. It's like, no.
Yeah, no one needs to, if it's my day off, I shouldn't have to run up to the restaurant to get the schedule.
That's,
the big flop too, I've seen like in the past couple of years in pointing out like, rolling out that technology before it's ready, like we've talked about, like the Amazon Fresh stores that are saying that AI is watching and you're checking out with that, and it's really someone video like watching the videotape and the cameras and stuff and typing it in. Same thing, like trying to early push out early integration of serverless order taking and stuff. Like you said, like the McDonald's having to put in, you know, tens of millions of outfit 100 plus places and then just pulling the entire program because it just wasn't there.
Right.
And not just letting it, you know, these teams, you know, the same way you get a good Asabuco, you let it go low and slow.
Yeah.
It's ready. And when it's ready, it's amazing.
Yep.
But if you pull it out too early, it's going to be rubbery and chewy. If you pull it out too late, it's grainy and nasty. Like, yeah, do it. Let it go low and slow and make sure it's right.
Yeah.
And then what final wrap up with the last question. What do you see us adapting automation for? What's the biggest standout? Like, I can't believe we didn't do this. Like, I can't even remember not doing it. Like, kind of like how we get Ubers, like right now. It's hard to remember when we didn't use Uber. Like to get it, just call a taxi and have it come on your phone. So like, what's that thing in like 5 years that you'd be like, I can't believe we were doing it the other way.
I think it is coming down to making the food. I think we're going to look back and go, I can't believe we paid a guy 8 hours to stand here and flip burgers.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And I get it. I think it's going to elevate humans. I think it's going to elevate all, like they're taking over those jobs that we as humans aren't stuck doing anymore.
Yeah.
We can actually go, okay, now, and that, it's just going to create a whole new industry of jobs for us. There's somebody's going to have to be repairing and working on every one of those in every single restaurant. So we got to just think different. But I think that we'll look back and go, remember when somebody sat there over the stove and just watched that or added this. I mean, a lot of it is, you know what I mean? Not every industry, like we're saying, but I think the ones that are just like, they have a menu with four items like In-N-Out and they have an army of people. It'll slowly get there. And in 5 years, it'll be like, now we only run with five.
Yeah. I think less of the line positions, but more of those like tedious things like we were talking about, like saucing, filling ramekins, that kind of stuff. Those real tedious like things like that. Like,
And think of all the jobs that'll create. Someone's got to create all the packages that are going to go on all these machines.
And then delivery, just how we're approaching delivery right now. I think just as quickly as like, remember the 90s, like early 2000s when we were transitioning from like cassettes had their minute, 8-track, like records were such a standard for so long. But then like through that time, we went from like cassettes were, you know, had about a decade, 15 years, and then CDs came out, then mini disc, then this and that, and then
CDs and mini disc didn't even last that long.
There was like a 5 year period where it was like every year it seemed like there's a new way of like this is the new future. And then we finally landed on streaming like iPods and how we have it now, where it's just like, okay, this makes sense. Like
actually another way I can see in the next 5 years changing. We're gonna get away from having so many companies having to develop hardware for the businesses when we're all walking around with hardware already. So it's gonna be walk into my place and maybe the geofencing throws everything on their phone.
And then that way, like, instead of having to do the QR code, it just automatically your menu pops up on
your
phone.
You're not squinting at the menu, even if it's digital anymore. You got it right there. Everybody at every age has that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big hardware play is going to be a big one too.
Yeah, and I think that one, have it more streamlined, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I think more accepted delivery stuff, streamlining using the hardware you already have. I think those are two ways of big like changes in the next 5 years. And then plus like we're saying, like getting some of that stuff in the back of the house of like especially those really mundane jobs or like things we can use, be like what you call the special forces, called the force multipliers, like those things that like do help chop, do help do those prep things where it's like one person can be doing like three people's worth of stuff, so that way they can get taken care of the way they need to.
I think the employees will love it too, because they're the jobs that no one wants to do. It's like, before you leave, go and fold this or do that.
It's going to be the same thing right now. If you're not taking care of your employees, you're not going to be able to stay open.
Yep.
And so the same thing, if you're going into a place and you're just chopping people left and right and bringing all these bots, and you're not giving anyone that's now taken care of and doing three people's worth of jobs, if Bob goes in and he sees Joe and Frank aren't there anymore, and they're not doing their stuff, he's not, you know, Bob remembers that Joe and Frank got paid.
Yeah, yeah.
And so where's that money going? Yeah. Is it like I'm doing three people's worth of work, even though you're giving me some tools and stuff to do it, I should be making, you know, some more money on this.
Right.
And so the places that aren't taking care of people like that, I think it will level out and you're going to lose people. Right. You're not going to be able to keep staff. Just like if you don't talk with people who respect and take care of people now, yeah, like you don't keep staff and you right. can't stay in business without staff. So even if you only need two people now,
yeah,
if you're still a bad business like manager and can't take care of people the right way, you're still, you still need two people.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be
able to. I'm more curious at what it's going to do cost wise. Like yeah. I get it's going to replace some of those jobs and stuff and it'll, does it keep the cost of the food low? You know what I mean? Does it help kind of offset some of those expenses? That's where I'm kind of like curious, is it going to make things so expensive because now you have to add in all these other,
and that's where I like seeing this going into the mom and pops, because you look at the larger companies, their food's getting more expensive, especially fast food. Food's more expensive, but the profit margins are also larger. So they're making more money and raising costs.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, we have more money so we can lower, keep costs low. There's no, so it's taking on like multiple ends.
It's your business model, whatever it is, I get it.
So the mom and pops, I think they're going to be able to take that stuff and be more equitable with it. So where it's like taking care of their employees, making sure they're taken care of, because it's the people they work with day in and day out. And plus, if you don't have staff, you know, it's, you're not running, you know, however many thousands and stuff of McDonald's there are. So they can be like, you know what? There's no staff there. Close it. Like, because we've got 4,500 or we got 10,000, like more of these like locations or whatever. So, but with the mom and pop stuff where it's their one spot, they're like, okay, I have to make sure, you know, like you said, Bob's taken care of because he is our one guy. So if it's not him in there, I'm in there.
Yeah. I think these dogs are taking over the show. So the, like a good point on that. There's the local, because the only thing you can go off of is like examples that we may have, right? So there's a local sushi restaurant has the one robot, and what they've been able to do is keep it down during their slow times to one employee, because that robot runs all the food out, does everything, and people love it.
That's
And when they're busy, they're busy. The robot's not even working.
Exactly.
They're just back to regular employees. So it's actually a very positive thing for that for that business.
And then like as I was saying, then you pay your $600 for the fee for the your lease for the month, and if you once you break it down to having someone there who's a server who's like running two plates on the hour and a half slow time, 2 hour, like over the month that stuff adds up. And like you're right, like the it makes it profitable to be able to keep that, but you're keeping that one person working and you're keeping yourself running your business, because at the end of the day, if you're not able to stay as a business and you're able to stay profitable,
you're gonna close your door
and then no
or give horrible
money.
Service
exactly
right.
No one's got a job at that
point. That's a good way of looking at it, but
so we took a peek into the future with this series, and we hope you all saw these strange new devices and ideas for the tools for your success that they are. New is always a little tough to adapt to and can bring along new challenges that you might not think you're ready for. But the rewards are worth the many YouTube tutorials you might have to watch before you understand what a SEO even is and how it applies to you while you're just trying to pour a beer for some thirsty patrons. Automation is an exciting new world, and as prices drop on equipment and leases become available, these tools are getting to the price point when they are becoming a real option for small business owners. We're excited to see what everyone out there's listening is does with these tools too. Because like I say, it's a brave new world, and we're excited to see what everyone does with it, because we can always sit here and predict and predict and predict, but until it's actually out there in your hands, that's when we get to see like what is going to happen with it.
Don't be afraid to jump in, start getting on demos, start seeing what's out there.
Totally. We have a new series starting with a few exciting interviews already in the plans. So thank you so much for checking us out. Remember to give us that 5-star review, subscribe where you can, and wherever you're listening to us. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you for your time.